and welcome back to Okay, But Listen. I'm Kellyanne.
And I'm Laura. And this is where we talk about actors we love, and then we make up shows and movies that we really wish Hollywood would put them in.
Last week, we talked about Melissa McCarthy and Ben Falcone, and it's not too late to get that one from iTunes. Don't forget.
Yay!
You can find extras like deleted scenes, relevant links, and transcripts for the episodes on the podcast blog at okaybutlistenpodcast.tumblr.com.
Okay, so this week, we want to talk about a personal hero to the both of us, and a man that, I'm not making promises, but I'm going to try not to make embarrassing noises about this guy, because he's he's kind of my fave. So we're talking about Linda Carter, yay, and J.R. Bourne.
Oh, yes. Yes. Okay.
That was gross. I just purred. I'm sorry. Yes, yes, yes. Linda, give me a chance to cool down.
Right. Okay. This woman, right?
Oh, yeah.
Cultural icon.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So, you know, she was in a band that performed in Vegas. She competed in the Miss American World pageant, and she hosted the Muppet Show. She was the principal in Sky High, but I think we all know her best as Wonder Woman. I mean,
oh my God, yeah.
Right. I mean, that show was amazing. She was a real Amazonian princess, right? And, you know, Linda just looks so great in her knee-high boots and stopping bullets with her bracelets.
Ugh. God, I was so obsessed with that show. Mm. Completely obsessed.
Right.
My mom thought it was dumb, but my dad, of course, my dad was like, no, no, she likes it. Let her watch it, which I thought was just so cool of my dad at the time. Of course, now that I'm older, I realize he might have had his own reasons for watching Wonder Woman.
Okay. But yeah. I agree with those reasons.
Same here. Same here.
Okay, well, we talked about Wonder Woman back in episode 2 when we both agreed Gina Torres should play her in the reboot. And we're still up here on the Gina Torres Hill of Devotion. Never fear. I mean, they can coexist. Both Wonder Woman's women. Wonder Women. Wonder Women? Wonder Woman.
I don't even know. There are many, many Wonder Womans, all right?
Yes.
There was the old TV show, the comic books, the Super Friends cartoon, which had the ridiculous invisible plane.
Oh my gosh, it just looked like everyone was sitting in the midair. Okay, so I had Wonder Woman underoos as a kid, right? As did my next door neighbor, Stephanie Huerta. And we would wear them like bathing suits and play Wonder Woman on the front lawn, where we would also, you know, sit and pretend that we were flying our awesome invisible Wonder Woman planes. It was, I loved it.
Of course you did. I would have done that too.
Yeah.
I never had the underoos.
Oh.
I know. One year though, when I was about 7 or 8.
Right.
My mom made me a Wonder Woman costume for Halloween. Yeah. Awesome. Sewed the whole thing, made me the golden lasso, set of bulletproof bracelets, the tiara, the whole deal.
Oh my gosh, that is amazing. And I'm going to be honest, I bet you looked awesome. I bet you did.
Oh, I did. I totally did. I rocked that thing. And yes. I wore it till it fell apart. Aww, I played in it
so
until
cute.
I basically grew out of it. It was my favorite thing in the whole world.
This is my favorite story. I love it.
So now let's talk about JR.
Okay, hang on. I gotta go get like a cold compress and lie down. Just a second. Okay. Okay, I'm ready. So you and I, Kellyanne, we talk about JR. I am so giggly right now. Okay. We talk about him a lot, right? And it's like over text messages, and they are typically filled with like emojis and exclamation points.
Yeah. They're embarrassing. We're never putting those
ever
deleted scenes, extras, ever.
Thank you.
I mean, some dignity, right? So. But also, most of what we say about this handsome, adorable, deep-voiced silver fox are things we can't really share here in order to preserve our non-explicit rating.
Oh, God. Yes. Okay, so this guy, he's been in so much stuff. Like, really, especially in genre TV. We've got, mm-hmm. you know, Stargate, SG-1, and Fringe, Andromeda, Smallville. And, of course, his latest biggest project that he's been in, Teen Wolf.
Teen Wolf. Mm-hmm. Chris Argent. Oof. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he plays some really bad guys sometimes. Mm-hmm. But when you see this guy at fan conventions, mm-hmm. which I never have personally.
Yeah.
Because I would probably fall down and pass out.
Same.
He is all smiles and laughter.
I mean,
and jokes. He's just like the funniest, sweetest guy.
Oh, this guy has a voice that makes Alan Rickman sound like he's got a frog in his throat. Oh, it's so delicious. And he's got these sparkly, icy blue eyes with crinkles around them. And oh, don't you just want to rub his salt and pepper beard?
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. also rub his...
Hey, up, up. Mm-mm. Keep it clean. We promised.
I'm trying. All right. So hard.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe we should talk about projects for them instead.
Oh, okay. Yes, let's do that.
Yeah.
Much better.
Okay. So, you know what I would really love for Linda and JR?
Hmm.
I would love to see them in a Men in Black movie. Can we do that?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, let's do that. Okay. Mm-hmm. How about a Men in Black movie with the I'm too old for this trope, you know, from like the Lethal Weapon movies?
Oh, yeah. The mm-hmm. borderline retirement thing. Right. Let's do it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we'll make them partners, obviously.
Yes.
And let's make this their last week together, as the trope would say.
Yeah.
And they have this one last mission, all right? Mm-hmm. She's a veteran. After 30 years on the job, she's about to hit mandatory retirement, pull the plug, get her mind wiped, and then go off and live a normal life on her big fat pension.
Okay. You know, JR, he's getting close to his 20-year mark. So, you know, technically, he can retire too. But Linda seems to be taking it for granted that he's going to keep working because he hasn't said he's retiring. So.
Mm-hmm. So then what happens is, obviously, they bring in mm-hmm. an energetic youth.
Okay.
Played by Samira Wiley.
Oh, I
love
her.
To be JR's new partner, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's just excited to be there.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Not even the neuralizing dimmed her can-do attitude. She's just tagging along with JR and Linda during Linda's last week as part of the transition to this new partner.
Oh, I love that. And so the great thing is there's been this, you know, low-key attraction between JR and Linda forever. So JR mm-hmm. constantly flirts with her and teases her. But, you know, Linda, she's the stoic Tommy Lee Jones one in this scenario, right? So the most he gets out of her in response is like, you know, these tiny little smiles and eye rolls. I mean, sometimes she cracks a joke or even like pulls a prank on him. You know, she doesn't really like to do that though. But everyone notices this little flirtation thing.
Raging a debate around headquarters forever. Are they or aren't they?
Yes.
And the worst thing,
mm-hmm.
by which I mean the best thing, is that neither of them has any sort of relationship or life outside of work. So there's just this like unrelenting pining between them, having each other's backs in dangerous situations for years. And now...
Yeah.
Now she's leaving. She's leaving him.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, she's the only partner he's ever had. And the thought of working without her seems a little, you know, uninteresting. But he's not sure how she feels. I mean, not really, because, I mean, office flirtations are one thing. And who the heck will know what happens after her mind gets wiped? What if she falls in love with some other guy?
Oh, this is so deliciously painful. Okay, so meanwhile,
right?
Linda obviously isn't sure how he feels.
Ooh.
So there's the flirting, but he's kind of flirty in general. Does it really mean anything when it's directed at her?
Oh.
And even if it does, he's not retiring for another 10 years.
Oh my gosh. You know what, though? there's no time to think about this anyway, because it turns out that the Bromiri, you know, given their poor eyesight from inhabiting this sunless solar system, started an intergalactic war when their prince accidentally ate the Lavasian Emperor's pet slime mold.
Ugh. He thought it was a dessert.
Well, it wasn't. So now the Earth, where the Bromiri are hiding their prince, is in danger. Again. Thanks for nothing. Jeez.
But it was delicious.
Well. Okay. It does have the piquant taste of almond. I won't deny it.
So now we're going to have this big, huge Earth space battle, as you do.
Yeah.
It all comes down to Linda and JR staring into the face of death. And there's no way out. None at all that they can see.
Oh, my gosh. So, you know, Samara is racing to them with an antimatter phaser. I mean, it's just like this whole thing that they need. And it is not looking good at all.
No. And I think that JR, he looks at Linda. He does that kind of wry grin of his. Oof. He calls her kid just to see her roll her eyes, you know, and kind of laugh. Mm-hmm. And he says something like, you know, we sure had some good times, huh?
Oh, my gosh. She barely keeps her lip from wobbling. I mean, she can remember his first neuralizing, how bright it made his icy blue eyes. Yeah, we sure did, she'll reply, trying to keep it together. And then they're both are just lost in each other's magnificent eyes. And this is it. This is the moment.
No, no, it is not. Because Samira comes running up with the antimatter phaser, blasts the matter-antimatter cannon the Lavasians had trained on our nation's capital.
Oh, my gosh.
And the moment is gone.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I would like to see Miss Wiley, who has the most beautiful, guileless smile, beaming up at her co-workers, so pleased with herself. I mean, she did just save the world, after all.
Yes, she
did. Good job, new kid. Jeez.
But at what cost?
Oh, gosh. True. The highest price of all. True love.
Oh, God. I don't even know what I'm feeling right now.
Poor.
Okay. So during the debriefing, right?
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah.
They just keep giving each other these little looks. She's scheduled to be retired and neuralized the very next day. They're just, they're out of time.
Oh, God. You know, she takes off her sunglasses and hangs up her black jacket. She turns to just leave, but JR touches her elbow and stops her. Don't forget about me, huh? He's going to ask, and his voice wavers, and his voice never wavers. Never, she's going to reply, and she throws her arms around his neck, squeezes him, kisses his rough, whiskery cheek, and walks away.
Oh, no! I am in agony over this. This is horrible.
Oh, that's just called some payback, sister. Okay? So, we have this shot of JR standing in the hallway. His shoulders are slumped and his hands are just empty at his sides as she walks down the long hall to be mind wiped, forgetting him and all they shared for years in the blink of an eye.
Oh my God. This is.
Okay.
Let's say we fast forward a year.
Ooh.
Linda's out in the front yard of her adorable little house, planting bulbs or something in her little flower bed.
Okay.
When the gate opens, I mean, white picket fence, I'm picturing.
Oh, yeah.
And a man she doesn't recognize comes up the crooked cobblestone walk. Okay. And he kind of stops and looks at her. She stands up and he looks a little embarrassed when he says he found a note in his pocket with this address on it. Does he live here?
She looks at the note, and it's her handwriting. She takes him inside, makes him a cup of tea, And when they sit down at the table, she goes and gets a note she found in her pocket about a year ago. And all it says is, wait for me.
Yes. And it's mm-hmm. in his handwriting.
Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So they reach across the table and, like, hold hands. And they're smiling and kind of giggling a little because, wow, they're both seriously attracted to the stranger in front of them. But the thing is that the stranger doesn't feel like a stranger. And she's, hi. She's going to say, I'm Linda.
Oh, my God, I'm going to cry. This is the happiest day of my life.
And he's going to say, hello, I'm JR. And they both feel like they have met before. But that's just because they are so perfect for each other. And the camera pulls back with them holding hands and talking. And we just know it's going to turn out okay. Oh, my gosh. I just love us. I think we are so good at this romance stuff, Kellyanne.
We are, especially when you mix it with, like, explosions and guns and stuff.
That's the best kind of love. That really is.
Okay. So now you know what time it is.
Oh, it's Beaver Valley time.
It is Beaver Valley time. So how about this? Okay.
Okay.
So, you know that guy in Beaver Valley who owns the Handy Lube? The guy whose name no one seems to know? He's just the guy from the Handy Lube?
Yeah. I mean, I freaking love the guy from the Handy Lube.
Me too. Okay. So, what if JR is a freshly retired, famous NASCAR driver who buys the Handy Lube?
Oh, I love this idea. You want to know why? Because it gives us an excuse to picture JR in a little mechanics uniform with his name stitched on the pocket, some nice little greasy smudges on his face.
Mm-hmm. Not that we have an agenda.
Yeah. But... yeah. Okay. So he moves to Beaver Valley and meets Linda, who owns a ladies' aid business.
Oh, I love how in Beaver Valley the women just all, like, look out for each other.
Oh, not that aid. Aid. You know, aiding your lady
business.
Oh, you know what? Let's be fair. Her shop does have some gentlemen's toys and tools as well.
Toys for play. Oh, those kind of toys.
Yes, exactly. So Linda's in business, frisky business.
Okay, why didn't you just say so?
Well, that's just in case, you know, like a listener's boss walks by. We're trying to think for you guys, right? Okay. But I'm just saying, Linda Carter owns a friendly, helpful shop where any gal can walk in off the street and pick out a brand new, high-powered toy friend.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she's awesome, and I love her already. Okay. Yeah. I really, really love that she's an older woman, like, claiming her sexuality and sense of self, and then using that confidence to help other ladies, right?
Yes!
That is the true spirit of Beaver Valley right there. So can we call her shop the Lady Garden of Frisky Business?
Oh, my gosh. I would be upset if we didn't. And just so you know, this is one of the many reasons why I keep you around, my darling friend. That is an excellent call. Okay.
Okay. So part of being a friendly place, I think, is let's put them upstairs from the bookstore, the Blue Stocking.
Oh, cool.
And we'll say that's in the same building as the dentist. So, like, when you go in the main entrance, no one knows for sure which place you're going to, right? Oh. This is a real confidence builder for some people. You could just be going to the dentist. You could be picking up a copy of Our Bodies Ourselves or a new boyfriend. Nobody knows.
Right. Nobody. Right? I love that. Okay. So, she brings her car into the Handy Lube, lays eyes on the new guy, JR, who is handsomely dirty in an honest day's work sort of way. You know, his muscles are flexing under that tight handy lube tea, his competent hands working his wrench.
Yeah, his wrench.
Hang on, I gotta change my cold compress. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so then there's Linda, right?
Yes.
Gorgeous and put together with her shiny dark hair and her pretty eyes. And let's give her some really cute glasses too, right?
Ooh.
Not that we know any older ladies with really cute glasses.
I don't know.
It just it just might be a thing we want to give Linda, right? So these two are so hot, right? They are going to knock you over with their beauty and knock each other over, which is what happens.
It's going to be instant attraction, I think.
Yeah. Okay. And JR, he quickly realizes she has no idea who he is, which he kind of likes. I mean, if she's willing to go out to dinner with him when she thinks he's just an ordinary guy changing oil for a living and not the retired world-famous NASCAR driver everyone wants a piece of, then he knows she's really into him.
Oh, that's great. But he has no idea who she is around town, which she likes. And she knows that he doesn't, because while they're flirting, you know, he leans against the doorway in a way that just really emphasizes his lean body and flashes his pearly whites at her and asks what she does for work. She says, oh, she owns her own business in town.
I love that answer. You know, and I think guys... I think they sometimes get intimidated about dating her because they think they really need to impress her between the sheets or...
Oh, right.
And even worse, or they're really eager to date her because they think she'll just hop in the sack on the first date and do whatever weird thing they want.
Oh, you're so right. And come on, boys, don't be gross. Okay, so they go out to dinner at the Honey Pot, which is, you know, like the official first date restaurant of Beaver Valley. So
they're having a great time, laughing, smiling, getting to know random things about each other. Like, does he say pecan or pecan? Very important, right? Her thoughts on Mike and Ike's versus hot tamales. This is heavy conversation. And since it's going so well, right around dessert time, she tells him what she actually does for a living, what her business is, to just gauge his reaction.
Oh, well, he's a little surprised. I mean, not in a bad way, but just I was not expecting that kind of a way, you know? But he is so into her that it's not, you know, off-putting or anything. It's definitely intriguing. But I want to think that he might feel a little pressure, you know?
I think he
does. That's what I want.
I think he does. And I think this is the moment also where he comes clean about who he is, obviously, now that they're sharing, right?
Right.
And I think this makes him feel better. Like, he can do this, right? He has been thrown from a car going 100 miles an hour.
Jeez.
He has experienced 3 Gs.
Oh, my gosh.
He has been on actual fire, okay?
My poor baby.
He can competently bone a super hot lady.
Okay, so this I believe. I love that. I love that. Okay. And, really, you know what? They're kind of on, you know, this even footing as far as partners and experiences are concerned. I mean, you know, we've got him as this really hot NASCAR guy. So, you know, he's had his share of hookups as a star, and she's a freewheeling, beautiful woman of the 70s turned sex positive queen. And I just don't want either of them to get weird about it. And I don't think they do. I think they just have some good, clean, safe, fun, adults.
I love this. I love this whole thing. Yes.
Yeah. And so they go out on another date and then another. And then pretty soon they kind of have standing plans and they're having sleepovers.
Sleepovers. Okay. But here's also a really important thing.
Okay.
No one ever brings up the age difference. Ugh. Not either of them, not any of their friends and family, nobody.
Except for us.
Right, just us.
But.
Because it is so completely normalized, both in real life and in entertainment, mm-hmm. for the man to be sometimes decades older than the woman. But yeah. whenever it's the opposite, everyone's scandalized or gets really mean about it. Not on our watch.
No, ma'am. They are just a regular couple who like each other and enjoy each other's mm-hmm. company. They are adults. And I think that they get along really great because, you know, they're both business owners who are really passionate about what they do, but they definitely find time for each other. You know, they both love, I think, camping. So I like the idea of them going away for a weekend to camp once or twice. And, you know, JR, he's got a hot tub at his house back on the deck. And, you know, they'll sit and soak and talk at the end of the day, stargazing and hopefully smooching.
Oh, my this, God. I believe. I love this. Mm. I love this. And I can't decide, like, which of them mm-hmm. I want to be more. Okay?
Right.
Like,
right.
Ideal life found. So, and then the next step, right, they start right. doing stuff with other couples, too.
Oh, yay. Okay.
Yeah. And I think Linda is good friends with Judith and her husband, Nabil. Aww. So they get Aww. Brunch together on Sundays. I'm giving Judith Sundays off from the Lazy Beaver.
Oh, that's nice. And everybody knows that yeah. she works hard. Yeah, I like yeah, that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what's awesome is that eventually JR realizes this has been going on for like a few months. And he's not itching to move on like he normally would at this point. He's never been in a relationship this long before, and everyone in town knows they're a couple, treats them like one, and he likes it.
Ooh. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what has to happen now.
Yes. Conflict. Oh, okay.
Yes. Excellent. Okay, so here's what I think happens. Mm. Linda has a friend.
Okay.
A gorgeous, successful, amazing friend who's like, we'll say, a fashion photographer or something like that.
Ooh.
Always looks super put together, has great taste, hangs around with beautiful people in beautiful places, that kind of thing.
Oh my gosh. Do you know who would be perfect for that? Lucy Liu.
Oh, holy crap. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Lucy Liu.
Okay. I love that. Okay, so tell me what happens with Linda's awesome, gorgeous, amazing friend, Lucy.
Okay, so the problem is, mm-hmm. as amazing and successful and put together as she is, okay. Lucy's love life sucks.
Oh.
You know how you always have that one friend who has really terrible taste in romantic partners?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. And to our listeners, if you don't have a friend like that, you're probably that. Oh my God, Kellyanne, I think I'm that friend.
Okay.
Dang it.
I'm going to say the fifth on that one.
Very nice.
Anyway, so that's how we're picturing Lucy in this, right? Just
okay.
A lot of short, disastrous things that never go anywhere.
Oh, like, I bet she keeps having these, you know, shallow affairs with all these really super hot models and designers and whatnot. Just ultimately doomed. You know, they're pretty, but there's nothing else there, and it's just always unfulfilling.
Right, right. So I think what happens is, after this latest doomed and unfulfilling affair, she calls Linda, and they have a long talk about it.
Oh.
And then, while they're on the phone... JR arrives to pick her up for dinner or whatever, just in time to hear through the screen door Linda say something about, like, yeah, it's such a tough call when the sex is good, but you know it's not going anywhere.
Oh, the old overheard and misunderstood conversation plot. You know, we haven't used that yet. Awesome. Okay, so hearing that would have to make him kind of wonder. I mean, she's not talking about him, is she?
Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, he's a good guy. He doesn't want to be the creep eavesdropping on Linda's private phone call. So he knocks on the screen door really loudly, and she sees him through the screen. He probably says something about, you know, I hope I didn't interrupt you. And she gives an answer that's kind of vague because Lucy is still talking at her end. But, you know, unfortunately, this vague answer doesn't really make JR feel much better.
Oh, right. And I mean, it's because, you know, she's not just going to talk about Lucy's private life to anyone, not Lucy. So she doesn't ever clarify or comment on anything that he may have overheard, which she doesn't know if he did in the first place. She probably will also assume, you know, he doesn't really care about like the latest romantic crash and burn of someone who he's never even met. So she says nothing. She just smiles, grabs a purse, locks up. She's ready for the date.
Yes. And I think he kind of puts it out of his mind, right?
Oh, okay.
You know, it's just like, it's not a big deal. He's an adult. Mm-hmm. And she's just so warm and funny and interesting at dinner.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing to worry about. But I think then maybe it happens again. Like he overhears another kind of vague thing.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then it just, like, Linda's on the phone with Lucy a lot. And poor JR just always seems to walk in or show up to hear the worst parts.
Oh, no. That's dreadful. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then Linda, because she's trying to be a helpful friend. So she stops by the Blue Stocking, the bookstore, on one day, and she gets a self-help book for Lucy. One of those, you know, about learning to love being alone and stuff. You know, a journey with your best life partner, you. And the cover is like a mirror. You know those books? Okay.
Yes.
So so she goes and gets that.
Oh, my God. I love this book. I love this book. Okay. So now.
Okay.
Now JR is really kind of wondering what's going on, right? He starts kind of second-guessing himself because it's looking more and more like Linda might not be sure about him.
Ugh.
You know? Is he being too clingy? Is he being too aloof? Is he too needy, too independent?
Oh, it's just so confusing. Like, he is just, he's not sure what to do. He doesn't know.
No, and the real kicker of all is that up until now, he was feeling like he'd maybe finally found someone he would like to settle down with. He's never been married. He's never been in a relationship even that lasted more than 6 months.
Oh, poor JR. So he's probably goes down to the back door, Beaver Valley's favorite dive bar, you know, and he has a beer with his new friends, Idris and The Rock. Because JR hasn't met Ben yet because he's too busy making goo-goo eyes at his lady love, Melissa, to be social. There's, you know.
Aw, the honeymoon phase. That's adorable. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, yeah. So Idris and The Rock, they listen nicely. They clap him on the back. But they realize he's in a pretty touchy spot here. I mean, there's not much you can do for the guy, really.
Yeah, no. But meanwhile, Linda tells all of the ladies that are in her welding class, which is led by Maria Bello at the community center, and tells them all that JR has been acting kind of weird. And, you know, she's hoping he's not getting flaky on her, but he's being pretty flaky.
Running hot and cold, really attentive, then almost distant. Mm-hmm. Now she is just as confused as he is.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so sidebar. I will die happy with the image of a bunch of Beaver Valley ladies, you know, talking all of this stuff out, grumbling and all that, and then flipping their little helmets down and sending up a shower of sparks into the air. Like, that seems so fulfilling.
This is venting on a whole new level.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Plus, you get something out of it at the end, as long as you aren't so angry that you just melt everything into a, like, misshapen lump.
Okay, so this is what is so wonderful about this Ladytopia of Beaver Valley. Like, if you need to get together and drink lots of wine, you're good. Ice cream and bad movies? Sure. Burning metal? Okay. I love it.
We have you covered.
Yes.
And man, JR really did not know what he was getting into when he moved here, did he?
Nope.
Okay, so we've got JR talking to his bros down at the back door. Mm-mm. We've got Linda talking to her ladies in the welding class. But I don't think there's any real decent, helpful advice to be given here on either side, except to actually talk it out.
Okay, we can't do that because then this episode would be really short.
Right, exactly. So... Duh. Okay, so I think at this point, they both adopt a wait-and-see attitude. Like, oh, this early on, you're just not sure if you're reading the other person right and whatnot.
Oh, right, right, right. I mean, you do not want to be the person who makes a big deal out of nothing. We have all been there.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. So while all of this is happening... Mm-hmm. Lucy reads the book Linda sent her, and she loves it. She goes out and buys all of this author's books. Mm-hmm. And they're all stuff about, you know, like taking charge of your life and realizing your dreams, that kind of thing.
Okay, so this writer's first name, and she only goes by her first name, let's say, is Clove. And I think Laverne Cox would be a great person to buy her.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Clove is like really super popular with the former Oprah crowd.
Ah.
She goes on talk shows. She has her own podcast, that kind of thing. She's like a one woman self-actualization.
Yes. I love that. Okay. So Linda, who's being a really good friend, she's also really intrigued by what Lucy says is in these books. Right. And so she goes right back to the Blue Stocking and buys a few for herself because she rationalizes, you know, in her line of work, you know, she often plays the part of therapist to her customers. So, you know, it's kind of good to have some of these answers to trot out as needed. So eventually she's got like a whole stack of Clove's self-actualizing books. Just like right there next to her bed.
Oh, boy. Okay, so finally, JR, he cannot take this anymore. He has to know what is in these books, right? Oh. He has to know what he is up against here.
Mm-hmm.
So he buys copies of his own, like off Amazon in the middle of the night, shipped to his house so no one accidentally sees them down at the Handy Lube.
Right, wouldn't want that. But like, he's really into being a good boyfriend. Like for the first time in his life. I mean, this is how much Linda Carter means to him. You know, he's going to put on his big boy pants. He's going to read these books and he is going to learn what carrying the emotional load means.
Wow. Mm-hmm. He is really into her.
Mm-hmm.
And with good reason, right?
Oh, and that's so true. She's amazing. So meanwhile, Linda starts telling the other ladies in Beaver Valley about these books, right? Because, you know, they do have salient advice in them. And she starts kind of like giving copies as gifts. In fact, Judith keeps hers under the cash register at the Lazy Beaver Cafe.
Oh, I love this. I love this. Okay. Yeah. Pretty soon, all of the women in Beaver Valley are reading these books, right? Mm. Melissa's got a copy of It's Not Me, It's You on the reading shelf at the Lost Sock. Okay. Yeah. And that is when the guys begin to notice, all the other guys. Mm. This starts to come up down at the back door. And JR isn't the only one who's
Right. So I think the guys kind of joke about it a bit. I mean, that's kind of like a guy thing to do. But yeah. I mean, but they're not like dismissive and they're not mean about it because this is Beaver Valley. But they do find it kind of funny. And, you know, the lingo is a little strange considering what they're, you know, used to hearing. But ultimately, whatever makes their ladies happy, right?
Right, yeah. Right. But then suddenly, it's not so funny anymore.
Oh, no, because Linda has the great idea to set up a weekend-long empowerment camp. Like this joint thing with a lady garden and the Blue Stocking and Yanni, the yoga studio in town, right? So she invites Lucy to come for the weekend, too.
Oh, this is a great idea. So book signings, lectures, yoga classes, workshops, meditation sessions, basically like my idea of a nightmare weekend. And so
same.
The descriptions for the workshops are all things like how a modern woman can choose to stop having mediocre relationships with others and find a fabulous life partner in herself.
So as soon as JR finds out about this, he is alarmed. And so are some of the other guys in town, judging by the text messages that start showing up on his phone. These guys, they hold a full-scale crisis meeting down at the back door in the private room behind the bar that no one ever uses except for right now. So JR brings a copy of the flyer Linda's been putting up all over town.
I think Ben, who by now,
yeah,
after this time, has been kind of worked into the group. I think Ben,
oh, yeah,
is probably the one to point out that it's just an empowerment camp.
Oh, yeah. Empowering them to leave us, JR would respond.
Oh, man. This just got real.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's obviously time for action. JR has his copy of My Vulva, Myself, and he gives it to Idris, who reads it in one day, who then gives it to Earl, who gives it to The Rock, who gives it to Ben, who gives it to Randolph II, because, you know, Randolph III is safe down on the Red River, and he doesn't have to worry about this madness sweeping the town.
And it is madness. Pretty soon, every dude in town is secretly reading Clove's books and trying to listen with his feelings with varying amounts of success, right? And now the topic in welding class is how almost all of the guys are being a little flaky. What the heck is going on around here?
Oh, the whole town is acting wacky. That's what.
Yeah, and you know what? Honestly, this whole empowerment camp thing, this is a blessing for Linda because this provides a nice distraction for her from what appears to be her crumbling relationship with JR. Things are just getting weirder and weirder there. And it's pretty obvious at this point something is a little off. And I think she's probably going to confront him about it after the empowerment camp. Like, you know how you are with stuff like that? You're like, you know what? I have this really stressful thing coming up. Once I'm done with that, well, then I guess I can handle a breakup.
Ugh. That thought makes her sad, though. Because, I mean, even though, you know, they hadn't talked about where things were going, or even if they were at the point where they were monogamous or anything, it had seemed like they were, and it was so good in the beginning that, you know, she just had high hopes.
Oh, she did. And so did JR. And you know what? This is a good distraction for him, too. Because now, I mean, he's a competitive guy. He was a NASCAR star. So he has embraced the fight fire with fire attitude. And these guys, they have decided to organize their own little empowerment session.
Oh.
Being informed is the best weapon.
That is awesome. So they hold it on Saturday afternoon when all the ladies will be safely ensconced over at Yanni learning to, you know, balance their chakras. So just to provide a little extra cover, the guys have their meeting at the softball field and bring coolers of beer and stuff. You know, just some dudes hanging out, talking about self-actualization, just guys being dudes. You know, it's no big whoop.
So just in time for the ladies to come wandering into the park, because it was such a beautiful day, they decided to balance their chakras outside.
Oh my gosh. And then there's The Rock telling the guys that they need to understand that 1 + 1 can sometimes equal 1. Because right now, this minute, Clove is teaching all the women how to leave their men. Except for, you know, Marie and Jillian, because they don't have men. And also, they are doing great. They're doing great right now.
Oh, yeah. I know they are. They know they are. Mm-hmm. But, you know, these bad math allegories, they just make me itchy.
Ah, they're just terrible. It's just awful. But, okay, so you had all the ladies coming over there. So they are just standing there with their mouths gaped open. Just, we got their yoga mats and their reusable water bottles with, you know, lemon slices in them. And then the guys notice that they're being watched. Oh, this is just, this is awkward.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Busted. Busted.
Yeesh.
I think once the ladies realize what's happening, I mean, they've got the books laying around and everything. Mm. They're clearly having a meeting about this.
Mm-hmm.
There's this really tense moment where everyone starts talking at once. Everyone's kind of like accusatory. And, you know, the ladies want to know what on earth the guys think they're doing here, right?
Yeah.
And the guys are like trying to decipher this guidebook to your emotions.
Oh, my gosh. And so Gina is like, what the heck does that even mean? So Idris picks up Feelings Encyclopedia, a primer, and says, page 73. So, like, everything just erupts again. Everybody's just yelling and talking over each other.
Oh, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. Mm, okay. This is a mess. And then I think Clove, because she's clearly the only voice of reason left in this town.
Which that's saying something.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. She says she just wants one person to speak for each group. Just one person.
Okay.
And of course, that ends up being JR and Linda.
Of course. So everyone else just goes quiet and waits, except for Melissa and Ben, who they are like flipping each other off and they're also mimicking making out. I mean, you just cannot take those two anywhere. Anywhere.
Exactly what they would do. So Linda's going to say, okay, go ahead. Tell me what is going on. No self-help lingo, not using these books.
Right.
And then JR's just going to just be really honest because this is what he's learned in this time reading these books.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to say, you know, we don't want you to leave us. We want you to talk to us so we can work on it and at least give us a fighting chance. That's all they want.
There are gasps from the ladies. We're not leaving you, Linda says. Whatever gave you the... And then she looks around at all the women in their hashtag Team Me shirts. And she realizes that they got a little carried away with the talk about not needing anyone else and putting yourself first. Duh, ladies.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Gina says... I just wanted to do yoga and get some free essential oils. She is not here for all that, right? So Idris, he like flings the Feelings Encyclopedia aside and they race towards each other and hug. And that just breaks the stalemate. That just sets everyone else in motion.
Oh, that's so nice. And all the couples are coming for each other. And, you know, they're talking at once and apologizing. And they're hugging and they're insisting. Hey, no one's leaving anyone here. I mean, and Jillian and Maria, they're still solid. So they're just holding hands and they're just trying not to laugh because this is hilarious to them, you know.
And Lucy and Annalise, the only two single women at this thing, they just like go over, sit down at the table and help themselves to the guy's beer.
Smart.
You know, Clove wanders over and grabs one too because the check cleared. So who cares if this ends a day early, right? She's still getting
paid. Yeah. I kind of dig this Clove. Okay. Mm-hmm. So finally the camera pans back, you know, to Linda and JR. And he's like, I just want to go back home with you and watch International House Hunters like we usually do on Saturdays because I missed you. And also, you know, you tickle my arm hair and you smell really good and I like it. And he's going to take her in his arms and she'll laugh softly and she'll hold his face because his beard feels so good under her hands. And then JR makes that, you know, happy little rumbling noise when she pets him. And they both, you know, they promise to talk about their problems from that point on.
And then he takes his lady home and competently bones her.
Hooray! Okay, so like, this is my favorite story we've told yet. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, okay. Yes, a lot of it has to do with JR being happy with an older woman who wears glasses. But also... that's part of it. But it's also because communication is key.
It is so important.
So important.
Okay. And this movie,
Right.
About a handsome former race car driver and a beautiful sex toy peddler who figure out that they love each other while inadvertently getting the entire town in touch with their feelings would obviously be named
Don't Blow a Gasket.
The end.
Well, I mean, you know, of course, until next time, right?
Until next time, join us again to find out which two actors will be subject to our wishful thinking and who will end up in Beaver Valley next.
Yay. And be sure to check out our blog, okbutlistenpodcast.tumblr.com, for updates and insights, relevant links, transcripts, which is better, Mike and Ike's or Hot Tamales, and our next episode. And we'll see you then.
Bye.